If you open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. As we sang that song this morning, I appreciate Robert's selection. Glorifying God, glorifying Christ, realizing the power and the majesty of God is what we do. And we will glorify the Lord. He alone is above all things. He alone deserves our praise. So that's why we're here, to bring great honor to our Lord and our God and our Savior. In our last lesson, the Sunday morning, we read words of Jesus who said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God." And he kind of closed that in as we talked about bookends in verse 27, where he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world does. I will give you. Let not your heart be troubled," he says, "neither let it be afraid." And between those two statements, he taught three lessons that we examine. He told us to look ahead. Look ahead to what's ahead of us in verses 2 through 6. He told us to look up and to ask of him. And he told us to look within ourselves to that spirit within us that we got when we were baptized, and that spirit that is in us through the precious and powerful word of God. And today, we move on to the next chapter. We turn our attentions to chapter 15, as was read in your hearing this morning. And looking at verses 1 through 8, Jesus here is proclaiming basically four things that I see here for our lesson today. And those four things are, he says, "I am the true vine." He says, "And my Father is the vine dresser." And he goes on to say, "The branch cannot bear fruit of itself." And then finally he says, "But this, by this, my Father is glorified." You know, Jesus proclaimed those things, and we think about John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but or except through Jesus, through him. And therefore we study today, and we must understand that Jesus expects, he expects his disciples to bear fruit. The Father is going to take care of those who do bear fruit. And you know, Jesus said, "I am," and we all understand basically that when Jesus said, "I am," that made in the minds of the Jews and even in our minds today who have read the scriptures and have any manner of understanding, that "I am" is God. Every aspect of God. And when we read in Exodus, when Moses was selected to go to the people and he said to God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "I am." You tell him, "I am sent you. I am that I am." But you know what we need to do today is we need to realize that we are not the I ams. What we need to do is ask questions, "Am I?" All throughout the lesson, try to keep this in the back of your mind. Am I truly attached to the vine? Am I abiding in Christ? That is, am I keeping his commandments? Am I truthfully able to say about myself, his words abide in me? And is my life, am I glorifying the Father by bearing much fruit? This is what God should see. So we ask the question, is this what God sees in me? And these questions should be seriously considered. They are of the utmost importance when we think about all the things that Jesus said here, because as we see in our lesson today, if any one of those answers, if I'm looking at that list And I say, am I truly attached to the vine? No, not really. Am I abiding? No, not really. Am I able to say his words abide in me? Not necessarily. Am I glorifying the Father by bearing much fruit? Maybe not. You know what the problem with saying no to any of those are? Because everything that does not bear fruit, Jesus said, he takes away. Everything that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Bearing fruit comes in many forms, and we'll look at a few of those, but just consider, you know, the prayers that we spoke today. I love the prayers of the saints here at Bedford. They're not minuscule, they're beautiful. They're long and they're meaningful and they're from the heart, and I love that. But, you know, that's a good bit of fruit that we bear. When we speak to others about Jesus, we're bearing fruit. When we come and worship God in spirit and truth, we're bearing fruit. When we trust in the Word of God and trust in the power of God to save us, we're bearing fruit. And there's many others. And so we want to begin with the words that Jesus spoke here, just a few of the words in verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And what we want to look at right now is just really the word the. He said, I am the. You see that? I am the. What does that mean? You know, the is called definite article in the Greek. Greek only has two definite articles, unlike English, but definite article, the, and the word a, which is indefinite. The definite article that he uses here, notice that with what Jesus didn't say. You know, he didn't say, I am a vine. We think about that, and when we think about what he didn't say, and we realize the example here that he is not a vine. He's not a vine. He's not one of many. In other words, there's just one vine. That's Jesus. Now realize that the church is his body, the Christ that we worship and the part that we are a part of. That's his body, and he is the vine, and we are attached to him as a member of the body of Christ. And there are people in the world today that teach there's many vines. You know, they'll say there's only one Jesus, but they go off on so many different tangents with so many different teachings. Jesus said, no, I am the true vine. Think about that. He said, I am the true vine. Jesus is that true vine. He's not a vine. Jesus is the true vine. And that means that there is an untrue vine. What is an untrue vine but just a false teacher or somebody who follows a different path than the one vine? And as we go into this lesson, really, you know, you have this one vine, and in that one vine, you know, if there's just one vine, no matter where anything goes, it all originates from the one vine. So it can't go anywhere except where the vine allows it. Turn with me to 2 Peter for a moment, chapter 2. Now let's look at verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Peter says here of what would be considered another vine. He says, there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. The devil's out there. He wants you to follow a different path. He wants you to be detached from that vine and attached to his vine. And these false teachers, these false prophets, these deniers, these people who blaspheme the way of the truth, their covetousness, and they use deceptive words, they're everywhere. And so we need to be careful that we are attaching ourselves to that one true vine. And the only way to know for sure is through the Word. Through the Word. Later on in the lesson, Jesus will say, if you abide in me and in my words, that's how we are attached to the vine. That's how we know the false teaching. That's how we know the deceivers. That's how we know those who blaspheme the Lord's name. Jesus said, further, he said, it is the Father. My Father is the vine dresser. Now, I want you to think about that. What is a vine dresser? Is a person who prunes, trains, and cultivates the vine. He prunes, he trains, and he cultivates the vine. When we think of pruning, we think of taking away. Remember, that's what Jesus is going to tell us. We're thinking of pruning, taking away. And that's one of the two things that the vine dresser does. So pruning in the spiritual sense is getting rid of anything that's harmful, anything that is going to cause a dissension in the church, anything that causes division, anything that's a false teaching, anything unless useless, rather, than in the church. Anything that does not bear fruit will be cut away. It'll be taken away by the Father. Sometimes they're called pew sitters. You know, sometimes it's just somebody that's just lazy or somebody that's not wholehearted. And God, it says, well, he'll prune that and he'll take it away. You think about what Jesus said, every branch in me that does what? Not bear fruit. He takes away. We need to be sober. Remember those questions. Am I abiding? Does his word abide in me? Everything that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And we'll get to that in a minute. He takes it away. He says in verse 6, if anyone, okay, so that's you, me, anyone, right? He didn't say if Dave, it's just anyone, everyone, does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is and they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. You know what the good news is here is that if you're abiding in Christ, if you're being fruitful, if you're bearing much fruit, this doesn't apply to you. And I think that's exciting. Because we're going to know by asking questions if those things are applying to me, and they're not applying to you. If you're doing the things that you're supposed to do as a branch on the vine, if you're bearing fruit, those things don't apply, and you can rejoice in that. You should rejoice. So Jesus here, he's talking to whomever this applies. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that whosoever. And Jesus is using that kind of terminology here. Whosoever this applies to. Well, we love the Lord. We believe in Jesus Christ. We worship him according to Spirit and truth. We honor him with our lives and with our prayers. And so therefore, these are just warnings to anyone who might be outside of that realm. The questions that we all should be asking, the question you should be asking yourself is, am I going to be taken away by the Father? Am I bearing fruit? Am I offended by the gospel? And I pray the answer is no, no, and no. And, you know, if you're not right with God, just a little bit of advice. If you haven't been working, if you haven't been growing in faith, if you haven't been producing fruit, then today, God has blessed you with today, and guess what? You can change it. You can turn it all around and you can begin to bear fruit today. You can begin to work. You can begin to produce. And you can be right with God today. You think about that. That's good news. If you are working and the Father sees that you're bearing fruit, then you're useful to the kingdom. And He won't be cutting you. He will be pruning you. In other words, He's going to be training you. That second part of pruning, he prunes, He trains, and He cultivates. But in that second part of pruning is when instead of removing you, He's going to nurture you. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're all familiar with this. God has given us everything through inspiration that we need to be able to be fruitful, to bear much fruit. He gave us everything that we need right here in this book to be perfect in His work, to be thoroughly equipped. He's given us everything we need to be that person of God who honors God, that person that is instructed in righteousness. He's given us all these things, and He does that to train us, to give us a direction, to guide us through the Spirit of God, through the divine Word which He has given us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, He's given us through the knowledge of Jesus, of Him who has called us to glory, the knowledge of Him. Listen, it's all here. And so God can train us. He can train us. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. What does it say? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All men. Okay? And that term men, by the way, is not referring to just male. That refers to all people, teaching us that. What is He teaching us? He wrote to Titus and said, God is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. When you think about ungodliness and worldly lusts, and you're thinking of all the snares that the Hebrew writer said easily beset us, we're thinking of all the temptations, all the corrupt teachings, the sexual immorality, and with all their hindrances. He's taking us and teaching us to deny ungodliness, which means the opposite. He wants us to live godly and righteously. And so you think of that. And then when we put that into practice, you know, these things God teaches us by His grace so that we will be blessed as we live upon the earth, and we will be blessed when heaven comes down and takes us home. Listen, He's teaching us to deny. He's also telling us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And when you, which means that we live soberly means to be very serious. It means to be sensible. It means to be solemn. It means to live with moderation or self-restraint. God's doing that for us. He's teaching us. He's pruning us. He's telling us, now, you take this seriously, not flippantly. You be a person that is solemn and sure, and you do things in moderation. You have self-control. And that's what it means. So we'll abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And we will exercise ourselves toward godliness is what He tells us to do in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 7. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 5 through 10. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. He says this. He says, therefore, put to death your members. So we're going to do that. What is that member which are on the earth? Fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We put that to death. And he empowers us to do that through the Holy Spirit. That's what it means when he's pruning us, he's teaching us and guiding us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So we put those things to death. And as we go on, verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Once walked. In other words, you've been able to put them to death. That's proof text. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, and again, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Listen, God is renewing us. He's molding us to be made into an image that is holy. And that's what he's doing. He's pruning, he's teaching, and he's guiding along the way. And as we do this, we're looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have purpose, we have motive. Why do we want to do this? Why do we want to give up all the pleasures of life, all the joys, the things that people take so much joy in? Because that won't get us to heaven. Abiding in Christ means that we give these things up. Abiding in Christ means that we set our minds on things above. Chapter 3, Colossians, verse 2, not on the things of the earth. And God is teaching us, he's pruning us to be able to do these things. Things that we had in the past, we can deny those things. Were you angry? You deny the anger and replace it with peace, with self-control. You see, it's just a step by step, and God does that. He's pruning. It doesn't all, you know, it's that old thing that when you're baptized, you come out washed clean of your sins, but you still have work to do. You still have growth. We still need to add to our faith, knowledge, and so on and so on. And so we need to be sure that we are abiding in his word and that we are growing. And that's what God does. That's his aim, to grow us up into the most holy faith so that one day we will be with him in heaven. The next point is that Christ, he wants us to bear much fruit. To bear much fruit. You know, he says that abide in me and I in you as the branch. Now look what it says. Cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in it. So this abiding. Am I abiding in Christ? Am I bearing fruit? You know, or am I living for self? More on that in a second. Think about that. The branch is what each of us is a branch. Each of us is a member of the body. Each of us is attached to the vine. And spiritually, anyone at all who is not abiding in Christ is standing alone, without God in the world, unable to bear fruit for God, unable to live spiritual lives. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of peace and power over sin. And so therefore, without him, we're not being nourished. Without the word, we're not being nourished. And think of it this way. You know, the vine. Look at this. When you look at this. There's the vine with death, no sap, no life. Then you take that vine and you fill that vine up full of life. That's Jesus who gives life. and then nothing's alive, but later that life flows out to the little branches and to the leaves, and now we have more life. And then as it continues on, what do we have? We have fruit. Because apart from Him, you can really do nothing. Without Him, you can do nothing. But with Jesus, you can be fruitful. You can bear fruit, much fruit, as the Scripture says. And so a spiritual life in Him, a spiritual life that's apart from Christ, is no life at all. And that's because going up the vine spiritually is the Word of God. It is the source of life. And if we're not attached to that vine, it can't reach us. You know, I don't have to describe what happens when a tree limb is separated from the tree or a branch from the vine. It soon dies. So we know the analogy. But what we need to focus on is that we, apart from Christ, we really can do nothing. The true life flows through Him to every little branch, to every little leaf, and to everything that causes fruit. And it makes the man a whole man, making him fruitful in every good work. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bear fruit. Now finally, as we look at this, Jesus says, but this, my Father, by this, my Father is glorified. You know, Jesus saved the best for last. He says, by this, my Father is glorified. You bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So by what? By what is God glorified? And there's many, many things. Just to think about it, abiding in Jesus and in His Word, John 15:7, right? We read that. We need to abide in Jesus and abide in His Word. That's one way that we glorify God. When we go from day to day living our lives and we meet people from time to time and you get in discussions and you speak about Jesus, that Word is in you. One of the things that, you know, I notice about our members, I think of Brother Keith here. I really do. You know, the Apostle Paul said, so much is in me is that I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. And this man has so much in him that once you get to know him and once you start talking with him, you realize the depth of his understanding and knowledge. And that's true about many members. When Randy teaches the Sunday school class, you know he's studying. You can tell that he has a depth of knowledge. He's not just connecting words here and there, but he's connecting all the dots. And so those are great things. When we abide in Jesus and in His words, then we're glorifying God. How many people in the world do not abide in His words? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned. Oh no, Brother Dave, that's not what Jesus meant at all there. I'll tell you what Jesus meant. He meant that if you believe, you're saved. If you don't believe, you're not. How many people don't abide in the Word? The apostles came together on the first day of the week to break the bread. How many people don't abide in the Word? And yet they call on the name of Jesus. How many people pray to Mary? They don't abide in the Word. They should be calling on the name of Jesus. And abiding, when we think about it, glorifying God is the greatest purpose in life. In 1 Corinthians, he says, whatever you, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, what did he say? Do all, right? Do it all. Everything that we do, do it all to the glory of God. You know, you go to a restaurant and eat, you say a quiet prayer, not to be seen, but it does glorify God when people do see you. When you have a neighbor come over or a friend and you mention the Bible and you talk, you're glorifying God in everything that you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do. And that glorifies. Calling on the Lord glorifies God. Calling on the Lord glorifies God. Let's read Psalm 50 and verse 15. Psalm 50 and verse 15. Listen to these words. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Now, if we stop there, you know, day of trouble, when you're, that's what most people call on the Lord, right? When they're in trouble. Lord, help me. And so that's okay. It's not just then, but here, call upon me in the day of trouble. And then he says, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You shall glorify me. How many times have you prayed to God and realized that he answered your prayer? Later on, it's always hindsight. You never know what his answer is going to be until it comes. And sometimes you never know, but when you do know, how many times have you prayed to God and he answered your prayer? He helped you in your times of trouble and you never said a word to anybody about it. You never talk about the power of Jesus in your life working day to day. You kind of keep it to yourself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that when you pray to God, when you ask God, when you come to God in the day of trouble and he delivers you, that you shall, right? Not you did. The prayer and the petition to God isn't what glorifies God. He said, you shall glorify me. You shall share me with the world. You will proclaim to the world that God took us out of, you know, the Israelites, God took us out of Egypt, and we proclaim to the world that when we cried out, God heard our prayers, and he took us by the hand through the prophet Moses, and he led us across the Red Sea and eventually into the Promised Land. We tell that. Not only to our children, but to other people. In the New Testament church, I was a sinner saved by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. I was obedient to the gospel of Christ. And by doing that, you know what? We glorify God. And we suffer as a Christian, Peter said. You're glorifying God. Letting your light shine before the world. You're glorifying God. Think about that. How do we bear fruit which glorifies God? Well, we abide in his word. Isn't that what Jesus said? Right? If we abide in his word, then he will abide in us. And if we do that, look at verse 10, and we're kind of skipping away a little bit in John chapter 15. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now listen, it says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So we abide in him and his word and we glorify God. That's how we bear fruit. And we abide in his love, of course, verses 15, 9 through 10. We abide in his love. In other words, we stay in the book. We always ask the question, what do the scriptures say? And we stay in our place in the church, in the body of Christ, and we don't venture out and test the soil out here in the world and try to intermingle things. We just stay in our place and we just produce fruit. And producing fruit, of course, isn't just planting a seed and seeing that seed come to fruition and some soul saved. Bearing fruit is prayer. Bearing fruit is worship. Bearing fruit is loving one another as Christ loved us. Bearing fruit is serving. So there's many different ways to bear fruit. And bearing fruit is maintaining a regular and daily relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Am I abiding in the vine? In the true vine? Look at this. Am I abiding in the true vine or the false vine? Is the bank balance that I have, or the entertainment rather, that I enjoy so much drawing me away from the vine? Is it chopping away at my connection to Jesus? Or is it something that helps me to abide in him? Is my bank account, my bank balance drawing me away? Is it so important to me that I give up worship to work on Sunday? Is it so important to me that I'm willing to give up a relationship Because I spend more time working to build that bank account than I do working to build my bank account. Is that all the false accomplishments of my life? That's not a true vine. To think that I'm self-sufficient and I don't need anybody else. Or is it the false vine of my own popularity? Look at me. You know, the fake vine of possession, of fleshly desires, of personal gain, of self, that doesn't draw a picture of the vine. If you abide in these things, you cannot be abiding in Him. And you can make a bigger list, but that's just an example. If you abide in the things of the world, you cannot answer the question, yes, when it says, are you abiding in me and in my word? And listen, I'm not saying you can't go to a picnic or enjoy the baseball games or a craft or I like golf. But I don't abide in golf. That's not my whole life. And listen, we want everlasting life. That is the source of everlasting. All right, so my last point, you know, Jesus is still the true vine. Understand that today. Jesus is the true vine. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. All those who died before Christ. But He is also now risen from the grave, so He's our first fruit. He is our first fruit. And all the nations are blessed in Jesus Christ. God told Abraham that the nations would be blessed in his seed. Jesus Christ was that seed. You read about Him in Galatians chapter 3. We are blessed as a people by Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what our nation is. It doesn't matter what our heritage is or our ethnicity. Ethnicity doesn't. We're all blessed by the one thing, that the blessing of Abraham might now come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the power of the Spirit through faith. So we're blessed in that sense. The church is a blessing through Christ Jesus, and you can receive that blessing, and you can be attached to that vine today because you have to be. Jesus said, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." You know, Jesus is using a metaphor. It's an illustration. He's not physically a vine, but it's an illustration. It's vital and loving message from him that you can have a relationship with him through his blood. And you think of that blood and that vine. And we must be attached to Christ in order to be being fed by that powerful vine. That's what the Bible teaches us. And this, you know, we have to hear the gospel. Romans chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said that we need to be taught in order to come to the Father. We need to be taught. That means we have to hear Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So we hear and we believe. We believe that the gospel is correct, that Jesus Christ is I am. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. We repent of our sins, the scripture tells us. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, that God, you know, he's waited, he's suffered a long time, but now he demands that all men come to faith and repentance, that we all repent. And so we need that. And the other step is that we simply confess what we believe. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We make that faithful confession before men, and Jesus will confess us before the Father, and then we are baptized into Christ. We put on Christ. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive remission of our sins. They're washed away. And then we live faithful lives, abiding in Him, abiding in His Word. And you know what happens? We glorify the Father. Listen to verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We sang that song before the lesson. We will glorify. Will you glorify God today? Will you glorify the King of Kings? Will you glorify Jehovah, the Lord of heavens, the Lord of earth? Will you say hallelujah to the King of Kings and hallelujah to the Lamb? Hallelujah to the Lord of lords, who is the great I Am. You know, for the sake of time, I want you to remember Herod. If you don't know the story about Herod, Herod was a guy that was full of himself. And oh, he spoke before the people, and the people shouted, "More, more, more, we love what you're saying." And he just kept it, he gave no glory to God. And the scripture tells us he was eaten by worms right then and there. Will you give glory to God today? Remember what it said, whatever you do, whatever you eat, word or deed, give all the glory to Him. You can glorify God today by obeying the gospel. You can glorify God today by looking at self and realizing something's not right and repenting of your sins. Whatever your need is, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.